Good morning. My name is Carmen Schrock-Hurst. I teach in the Bible and Religion Department, and I also direct the Ministry Inquiry Program, and at EMU we like acronyms, so we call Ministry Inquiry Program MIP. Most of us learn best by doing, and MIP is a program that allows students to actually do ministry, not just sit in a classroom and talk about it. It's a chance for you to test your gifts and to discern a possible call to ministry by spending 11 weeks with a congregation and learning from a seasoned pastor as you work through what usually is a summer. Today we have the privilege of hearing from two students who spent this past summer in Washington, D.C. as participants in the MIP program. Rebecca Enns is a senior history major with minors in pre-law, peace building, and political studies. She's from Manitoba. She served with the 4th Street Community Church in Washington, D.C., which is a Korean Mennonite congregation working with the homeless population. Rebecca also just returned to campus from a semester in the Washington Community Scholars Program. We're glad to have her back here. Secondly, we'll hear from Joel Knopfsinger. Joel is a senior history and peacebuilding major from Pennsylvania, and you might know him as one of the Weather Vane editors. He worked this summer with Washington Community Fellowship, which is a multi-denominational congregation that's affiliated with Virginia Mennonite Conference. As you might note from what I just stated, you do not have to be a Bible major to participate in MIP. You also do not need to be a Mennonite. What you do need is to have an interest in exploring a call to ministry as a possible vocation. As a service learning opportunity, MIP is funded in part by the Mennonite Church USA, as well as by EMU, as well as by your home congregation and the congregation where you serve, and you can earn a stipend of $2,000, which goes directly to Mennonite college or seminary of your choice. You also, if you want, could earn 3 academic credits, although to do that you'd have to pay EMU for the credits. We're beginning right now to finalize placements for this summer, so if you have interest in learning more about MIP, you can find me after chapel over here once you're away from all the Middle East folks, or you can go to the EMU Bible Department page, and there's a link to MIP. You can read stories from other participants, and also there is an online application. So the deadline for applying at this point is the end of January, and I look forward very much to hearing from Rebecca and Joel. Thank you for being here, and please let me know if you have interest in learning more about MIP.
Good morning. My time with MIP was full of surprises, of learnings I did not expect, of questions and frustrations I was not sure how to voice, and of awe and inspiration that continues to challenge me in how I conceptualize God's transforming power in the world. I spent time this summer with 4th Street Community Fellowship in Washington, D.C. 4th Street Community Fellowship is a small church affiliated with Virginia Mennonite Conference, which is run in conjunction with the nonprofit organization Action for Peace Through Prayer and Aid. Both the church and the NGO are led by Korean immigrants from the suburbs that are committed to serving the inner city of DC. They began 15 years ago as a dream to end homelessness, resolve racial conflict between Koreans and African Americans, and share a gospel of peace and service with the impoverished of Washington, DC. Today, the community and worship space is a treasured landmark and a safe space for many in the community. To most of the people who have been members over the past decade, the building has become known simply as House of Peace. It is a place where there is security, acceptance, prayer, and the potential for transformation. What drew me to the Ministry Inquiry Program personally was a desire to learn about the concept of being church. I wanted to explore what, besides a place to worship on Sunday mornings, an active congregation could be. I was struck by Jesus' challenge in Matthew 5:13-16. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer any good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. I have spent time reflecting on this passage as Jesus' lesson to the church, God's chosen people. We are to be salt of the world. Through us, God is to bless and season the earth. We are being given a new directive, as if Jesus is saying, "You are on a lampstand. I will trust you to shine before all the world. You represent me. There's no way around it. So how can you shine before the world and point towards me?" I was curious about how the church lives on this lampstand, how we can represent God's gospel of love to the world as part of our identity. And so 4th Street Community Fellowship, an active congregation that had at its mission to serve the poor in DC, to transform conflict, and to provide hope in a community of disparity, seemed like the perfect example in which I could explore the concept of what it meant to be actively church in the world. What I found when observing a church on a lampstand was that flaws are just as visible as gifts, and at least for me, judgment was much easier than grace. During my summer, I led weekly intercessory prayer, preached twice, led summer youth camps, and wrote and edited reports and press releases about different service events. I was challenged in many ways and inspired in many others. 4th Street Community Fellowship is unique in many concepts. Some of these aspects disagreed with my own perceptions of what the church should be and how to be ethically involved in following Christ. Others broaden my perspective on how certain aspects of church that are taken for granted can be reshaped, expanded, and transformed to allow for a true representation of God's mission and love for the world. Throughout my summer, I continued to ask questions about how to be church. Sometimes provocative questions, judgmental questions, questions with no answers. Questions like, what is more important, to care for the world or to provide meals at convenience, prompted by the use of styrofoam at church meals, the lack of recycling, the water waste, etc. Questions like, what is more important, to tell the whole story with all the judgment and correct analysis I think I hold, or to tell the beauty in the thing, to spin the positive narrative and showcase the wonderful, prompted by the press releases and reflections I wrote on behalf of the church where I was serving, and once again as I sat and prepared to share in chapel this morning. As I engaged more with the concept of how 4th Street Community Fellowship was doing church, I struggled more and more with my questions and my judgments. I was frustrated again and again by processes, by how the church was doing things and failing, and often needed to be reminded of how 4th Street Community Fellowship was being church. At the heart of church are the relationships. And as time went on, I began to appreciate more and more the relationships that were built and sustained within 4th Street Community Fellowship. At its essence, being church for 4th Street Community Fellowship was about being community together. In a community and a neighborhood of greed, anger, and danger, I witnessed that community support each other. In a world that focuses on differences and cultural divides, they were bonded together across the Korean African American cultural gap. They taught me much about how to love in this world and how to look beyond ourselves and see the work of God here. About how when we reflect on God together, then life becomes more about simply us. It becomes about God's power to bless the world. Through modeling their relationships with each other and their love for each other, even if their processes were flawed, the community is a light on the hill, shining outward through which others can see God and be cared for by God. There were many things about my time with 4th Street Community Fellowship that challenged me. Working in the inner city with a leadership that was primarily Korean and did not share my language or culture was extremely difficult. This was not an easy 10 weeks for me. I might even say it was the hardest of my time at EMU. However, through the relationships I had the privilege to build and observe, I was able to see how God is using this broken community, this broken church, to transform lives and realities in DC and around the world. My time with MIP has radically transformed the way I think of church, the importance of relationship as opposed to process, and my faith in God's transforming power active in this world.
My first experience of the summer was a meeting of the healing prayer team. I walked 30 minutes from the metro stop, was given a short orientation to the church, and then off to prayer time. I went into that meeting with a strong negative gut reaction anytime prayer and healing were put together. Brings to mind images of televangelists casting out demons, snake oil salesmen, and the oh-so-despicable statement, if you would pray harder, you wouldn't need a doctor because God would heal you. Not knowing what I was getting into, I was bracing for the worst. Fortunately, this was not the case. I spent my summer working with Pastor Dell Glick and Washington Community Fellowship in Northeast DC near Union Station. This is a singular congregation, and I am grateful for the welcome I received there. The key distinctive of this community is that it's a multi-denominational congregation. This is opposed to non-denominationalism, which they distinguish themselves from by making a purposeful effort to bring different aspects of different Christian traditions into their services and practice. They call themselves a church for all peoples and make a most impressive attempt to have that be a reality. My summer was relatively unstructured in terms of day-to-day responsibility. Time was spent with a variety of functions. First most was observation and presence to gain the understanding of what was done in the church, how it was done, and why it was done. This consisted of attending meetings, talking to people, and other complicated tasks in the same vein. The second portion was preaching and participating in services. I preached twice, I helped serve communion, I led confession several times. I also assisted with the basic office mechanics throughout the week. I went into the ministry and free program looking for two things: insight into how congregations function and what my role within the church should be. Through exposure to a diversity of ideas and being given time to think, I was able to consider ideas ranging from how we incorporate our understanding of Christ's ministry into worship to developing relational maps of congregations. I specifically spent a lot of time thinking about confession and communion. I had also spent most of last year and a good portion of the spring before that considering the theology of confession, which has all but disappeared from the Mennonite traditions for reasons we won't go into now, and whether or not it should not be rehabilitated into a restorative role in the church. Conveniently, Washington Community Fellowship places a high emphasis on ritual, much more so than any other church I've attended with a degree of regularity. They do confession weekly and communion biweekly. And I was fortunate enough to be allowed to experiment with the congregation, bringing some of my thoughts into practice during confession time on Sunday near the end of my time there. I will not claim it was a wild success that completely changed how they viewed the experience or how I did, though it was well received. The freedom to make such an attempt, though, with a willing community was one of the highlights of my summer. The bigger thing I realized was that I was not meant for pastoral ministry. That there are parts I enjoyed. Preaching is great fun, the preparation even more so. Participating actively in worship is meaningful. Administrative work is oddly relaxing. Then there's the messy work of pressing the flesh, as Pastor Dell termed it. This aspect, checking in with people, building relationships with the congregation, came only with much, much struggle. This is not to say I did not build good relationships. I did, but simply not on the congregational scale. I do not believe this means my summer was wasted. It was eminently useful because it allowed me to experience one possible life path with minimal risk and discover it was not for me. And to be fair to the community, I should revisit the healing prayer team that I brought up earlier. What I actually found, as opposed to my horror stories, was a small group of people sharing from their experience, praying for each other, and reflecting how to live their lives in a more godly way.
Thanks for sharing your reflections with us. I know there's so much more you could have shared, and if you'd like to hear more, then check with Becca and Joel. And again, we encourage you to explore ministry through this program. If this summer's the right time, then it's time to start the process.
Good morning. I'm Deirdre Smeltzer, Director of Cross-Cultural Programs. Another of the ways that students at EMU can experience learning by doing is through the cross-cultural program. So this morning we're going to have a time of blessing and sending for the Middle East cross-cultural group. So if the members of that group would come forward and gather on the steps, I'll introduce the group to you. There are 30 students led by Linford and Janet Stutzman going to the Middle East this semester. Linford Stutzman of the Bible and Religion Department is the faculty leader for the group. Linford has been teaching at EMU and EMS for over 20 years. Linford's wife Janet is the assistant leader for the group. Janet has served as the director of parent and alumni relations at EMU for 13 years, and currently she is the director of development at Virginia Mennonite Missions. Linford and Janet have led 10 previous semester-long groups to the Middle East starting in 2001. And 5 summer cross-culturals to Turkey and Greece. Ever since spending the first year of their married life in Israel, Janet and Linford have had an ongoing fascination with the history of the region and a deep respect for the diverse people in the Middle East and Mediterranean lands. They consider it a genuine privilege to take students to learn about God, the world, and themselves in the Middle East. Those of you who are here that would like to gather with the group for a time of prayer, I invite you to come forward now if you wish to surround them and lay your hands on them. The members of the Middle East group will gather tomorrow afternoon at 12:30 in Layman Circle, which is between this building and the library, to load a bus. And the bus will be departing for Dulles Airport at 12:45. So as you gather, I'm going to invite Campus Pastor Brian Martin Burkholder to lead us in a prayer for the members of this group.
Even as they're gathering, Deirdre sent a message by email that the Guatemala group safely arrived, and we are thankful for that as well, and we're looking forward to receiving news that you folks will have safely arrived and are settling in. Let's pray. Nurturing God, we thank you for the opportunity for travel and cross-cultural learning. We acknowledge the growth and blessings received by each person in this soon-to-depart group. May your presence be personal and intimate with each one in these final hours of preparation and throughout the cross-cultural experience, indeed this quest. We thank you that we are your children, each precious in your sight. We thank you that each person on earth is unique and yet part of your dynamic creation. Bring us to an ever-deepening understanding of the connection between us as sisters and brothers in Jesus and as cousins in your created order. And lead us to life-changing openness, mutual respect, nurturing acceptance, deep appreciation and delight. We ask for safety in travel and for transformation of mind, body, and spirit for each member of this group. Help each one be ever mindful of decreasing in self and increasing in you through this cross-cultural learning experience and beyond. And remind each one daily to love others as you love them. In the name of Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, we pray. Amen.